Before the children go to children's church, why don't y'all sing a song for us? No, you can go on to children's church. That's right. Where'd Seth go? All the way to the back. I'm not used to you being back there. I guess that means he has a germ-free wife, doesn't it? Seth, you don't mind if I call on you, do you? We just sang Waymaker. Tell me what that song means. To you? Very good. If you remember that song, then you'll remember a major part of what this sermon is about, because we're looking in Revelation chapter 3, one of the letters to the seven churches, the letter to the church at Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3, it's verses 7 through 13. When we think about the church at Philadelphia, we think of the church of faithfulness, or you may see it described as the church of the open door. God says, I've opened a door for you. I love the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation because they tell us how God sees us. You'll remember that it's letters to seven different churches, and these were real churches, historical churches, real people, but they were representative also, different types of churches. And as John receives this vision, Jesus is telling each church what he sees when he walks through that church. Jesus is described as the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Those lampstands represent each one of the churches. Normally, in all the years that I've been preaching, the two churches that I've gravitated to were the church at Ephesus, which is the first one of the seven letters, and the church of Laodicea. Those are the two that have seemed to be the most relevant to congregations that I've preached to, the ones that seem to be the most like our situation. You'll remember Ephesus is the church that was a faithful church, a strong church. They had many acts. Much ministry was taking place, but the church at Ephesus was described as having left their first love. Their love for Christ had been watered down. And then the seventh letter is the church at Laodicea, and that's the one that I can remember so many preachers preaching about when I was growing up, because that's the one where Jesus said, I would rather you be what? Hot or cold. He wasn't talking about the thermostat, even though that's what we usually focus on. I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will do what? Spew. That's not a good sounding word, is it? What is it? Is it onomatopoeia when it sounds like, when the word sounds like what you do? Y'all want me to stop right there, don't you? But really, the idea is projectile vomiting. Now you really want me to stop right there. I never really understood that one too well as a child, because it didn't make sense to me. Why would Jesus say he would rather us be cold than lukewarm? I knew we were supposed to be hot. We ought to be on fire about Jesus. If there's anything in our lives that we ought to be excited about, it's the one who died on the cross for us. But I just thought, if at least if you're lukewarm, you're closer to where you should be. Cold is all the way on the other end, right? And no good Baptist ever wants to be cold. But Jesus was saying, don't be in the middle, because if you're in the middle, you're what? You're indifferent. It's not a big deal. That's just like when you and your spouse or you and your kids are trying to decide where you're going to go to eat, right? It doesn't matter until you suggest a place. And then when you suggest a place, it becomes a statement that you're not sensitive and you don't really love them, or you wouldn't suggest that place where they had a bad experience the last time they went there. And that's all I'm going to say about restaurants, since I've already been picked on by one of your members who said that that's where he always runs into me. I will tell you that thanks to social distancing, I've had more home-cooked meals this year already than in any other year in the last 20 years. And that's a good thing, isn't it, men? Or women, whoever's benefiting from the cooking? Because we've got some good cooks that we're related to, don't we? I think somebody just about confessed there. But I think it's fair to say we are living in a different time. We are in a different time than we've encountered before. Church is different than what we've encountered before. And I want us to read this letter to the church at Philadelphia, and I believe we'll see why I believe this one is particularly relevant to those who want to serve the Lord, who want to follow Christ. Chapter 3, verse 7 of Revelation. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And then the letter ends with the same ending that we see with each one of these. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I can remember as a child reading that or hearing that, and seeing that in other places in the New Testament and thinking, well, that just means everybody, right? Because everybody has ears. But that's not what it means. What it means is, for those who have spiritual ears, those who are willing to listen to the Christ, those who are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You've heard me say many times, it's not about coming to church. It's not about sitting in a pew. It's not about enduring preacher jokes. I said enduring, not endearing. It is about whether or not we're really listening to what God is going to say to us, whether or not we're willing to hear, not just with our ears, and not just to learn with our head, but we're willing to hear with our heart, so that the one who sees our heart, the one who knows the real me, can speak to me and say what he sees when he sees me. As we look at this letter, the first thing that jumps out at me is God is saying, I am opening a door because you have a little strength. He's saying, I'm going to give you an open door of opportunity, an open door of service. And the reason he is doing it is because they've been faithful, but he's saying up front, you've not got much strength. It would be like a football coach saying, you're my weakest player. I think I'm going to put you in at quarterback. That's not the way it's supposed to work, is it? But you know, I can relate to that verse because I was one scrawny kid. I was so thin, if I turned sideways, you weren't going to see me. And it seemed like I was always playing something or doing something with people that were stronger than me. But the problem is when we think we're stronger than we are. Could it be that God was going to be able to use the church at Philadelphia because they understood that they didn't have much to offer? They understood their lack of strength. Notice how Jesus is described. At the beginning of each of these letters, there's a statement about Jesus. And remember, back in chapter 1, John had seen a vision of Christ. And different parts of that vision are used to describe the nature of Christ or the attribute of Christ that is particularly relevant to the church that he's speaking to in each of these letters. He that is holy, he that is true. Then he says, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. There, when it talks about the key of David, it's referring back to Isaiah chapter 22. In Isaiah chapter 22, the servant of God is described as being given the key of the house of David. A key that allows him to have access and authority to be able to open any door. It's that same statement back in Isaiah chapter 22 about anything that he opens will not be closed. Anything he closes cannot be opened. This verse, talking about the God who opens and shuts doors, has in my life been one of the most helpful verses when it comes to decision making, when it comes to praying. You know, sometimes it seems like life gives us some bad choices that we have to choose from, but the really hard decisions or when we have two good choices, when we have two ways that we could go, and we're just not sure which way to go. I have found such freedom and such joy in those times of decision making when I have been able to pray, God, I don't know which way to go, but I know that I want you to guide me. And my prayer is that you will open the door that you want me to go through, and that you will open it so wide that there is nothing in all the world that can shut the door. That there is no force, no power, nothing, not even me. Because I'm bad about trying to push through doors when I shouldn't and trying to shut some doors when I shouldn't. And Lord, if it's not your will for me to go through this door, then shut the door. And when you shut the door, I want you to lock the door. And I want you to deadbolt it. And I want you to put a chain on it. I don't know why my daughter is like this, but our front door has a deadbolt and it has a chain. Until Gwanya came along, we never used the chain. And I remember one time, I don't remember what happened, but I had gotten locked out of the house. And I thought, well, there's no problem. I know where the key is hidden. And so I got the key, tried to go through the front door, and that chain stopped me. And I thought, Gwanya, you've been there. But what we're praying is, Lord, shut this door. Cement it shut. Barricade it. Block it. I don't want anybody or anything to be able to open this door. God is a God who knows the doors that we need to go through. One time, I had been with some friends at Lake Bruin for the weekend, and I came back late Saturday night because I had obligations on Sunday morning, but I was, for that long weekend, I was going back to Lake Bruin. So after my church obligations were completed, I was about to head back, and I got a phone call. And it was from some friends that were at Lake Bruin, and they live here in Pearl. And they said that their son had lost his glasses in the lake. About an 8-year-old boy. And they needed some replacement glasses, and they had some in their house. And they live in Country Place. So, of course, I gladly agreed that I would swing by their house and go through the back door that is always unlocked to get the glasses. I went to their house, went to the door that I knew was the right door. It was locked. And this young couple said, this door is never locked. They really never did lock it, but what they forgot was they had somebody come in while they were gone to clean their carpets, and those people made sure that every door was locked. So I thought, well, I guess poor little Mason's just not going to be able to see. And I called and told them what was going on, and they were in a panic trying to figure out what to do, and then they remembered, oh, wait, we have a window that we don't, that doesn't lock. And I said, okay. So this window is in the front of their house. Did I say they live in Country Place? And it was one of those windows that's down at floor level. So I tested it, and sure enough, it opened. It didn't open that high, though, and it wasn't that wide. And I thought, I'm not sure I can get through there. I kind of tested it a little bit. And you'll be glad to know I was able to get through there. And of course, the whole time I'm thinking, I wonder how many of their neighbors are at home. I'm not really dressed like a burglar, and 12 o'clock on Sunday is not usually a time that people break into houses, but I really don't want to get stuck going through this window. Fortunately, I was able to get through that window. And as far as I know, nobody saw me. It all worked out fine. But I wonder if that's not a pretty good description of the way you and I conduct our prayer life. Because you see, there's that door, and we're not sure if we're supposed to go through it or not. And it's locked. And what do? We search through all our pockets trying to find a key. We're looking at the different doors and different windows. Maybe there's another way in to this house. And maybe I'll just take a big risk and go through a window instead of a door. In my situation, it worked out fine. But when you and I, as children of God, try to go places when God has shut the door, there's something that's going to happen that's a lot worse than us getting stuck in a window. When we think about this, God has given them an open door. Why? Because they have little strength. They have kept my word and has not denied my name. God gives each one of these churches a positive report and a negative report. Except there's only two that he doesn't give a negative report, and there's one he doesn't give a positive report. Laodicea, the lukewarm church, he has nothing good to say about them. Smyrna and Philadelphia are the two churches where he doesn't have any criticism at all of those churches. Do you remember what the church at Smyrna was? I wish we had time to look at it, but the church at Smyrna was the persecuted church. It was the church that was enduring great hardship. The church that was oppressed, the church that was persecuted, the church that was going through a more difficult time than anything that you and I have ever faced. Now, I do believe, because the Bible teaches, that things are going to get worse. That there'll be a time, and maybe in our lifetime, that's a lot more like the church at Smyrna. But I believe right now, for the children of God, those who love the Lord, those who are willing to keep His word and not deny His name, this situation that we're living in, that is different from anything that we have ever experienced, is an open door. It is an open door because people are hurting. It is an open door because people are uncertain. And just like in a time of war, there becomes a focus on death, there is, in a time like this, a focus on death, a focus on physical vulnerability. Right now, we're seeing more and more young people become infected, where young people always think we're immune. We're having to do church a different way. You know, I'm convinced that even though you can read the newspaper, if you still get one of those, and you can watch the news, and you can listen to everything on social media and every source of information that you can find, and you might believe that people aren't interested in spiritual things, that the world is becoming more and more anti-God. And friends, I will tell you that that is not at all the reality. Yes, there is a vocal group that is anti-God. And then there's that group that wouldn't say that they're anti-God, but what they are anti is the idea that Jesus is the only way to heaven. God gave these people an open door in Philadelphia because they were located. They were at a major thoroughfare. They were in an area where they had a lot of people from a lot of places that passed through there all the time, and God wanted them to understand, you have an opportunity to shake the world. That's what he's saying to us. When we stopped having church for a little while, things changed a lot for me. I suddenly wasn't nearly as busy as I had been. And part of what that meant was I didn't have anything at night anymore, where most of the time I had somewhere to be 4, 5, 6 nights a week. Then Sunday actually became something of a day of rest instead of a day that you almost had to recuperate from because you were so busy. And one thing that I've learned is when that happens, God opens a door for spiritual growth. God opens a door for quality time with Him. God opens a door for Bible study. God opens a door for us to stop being so busy and for us to focus on what He wants to teach us. It's also been a different situation because trying to make sure I haven't forgotten something. But there's only been a few times since March that I have taught people in person. I've been teaching my Bible study class on YouTube, and I was kind of frustrated by that. I was frustrated for a few reasons. One is, I'm used to having a lot longer to teach, but, you know, I didn't know much about how to live stream or do YouTube or anything like that. And so I had asked 3 IT guys, what's the best way for me to do my lesson and get it out to my class? And they said to just create a YouTube channel. And I thought, well, that sounds real easy. But it was pretty easy. And the remarkable thing is, because that YouTube channel was created, even though it was frustrating for me, because suddenly I'm limiting myself to about 22, 23 minutes. When have you ever heard me talk for that short of an amount of time? That doesn't happen, does it? So it's a lot different for me, but what has happened is because I was put in a position where if I wanted to teach the people that I would normally teach, I had to figure out a way to do it. It opened the door for me to share that lesson with people that would never be in front of me in person. Some people who have no desire to go to church have been watching those lessons. Some people that can't go to church for different reasons, maybe because they're a caregiver, they have been watching those lessons. Brother Rodney told me that y'all are live streaming, and that's a new development, but it's a development that expands the ministry. I have a friend in Pennsylvania who watches my lesson every week, and I've been able to disciple them as a result. I knew that my aunt and my cousin watched every Sunday, but I didn't know until a few weeks ago that they were sending it to a good friend who was a 90-year-old, and he's watching it every Sunday. Friends in Pascagoula, where I grew up, neighbors from down the street are watching it. The remarkable thing is, we have a God who is determined for His Word to go out. We have a God who is seeking to save those who are lost. We have a God who is knocking on the door of every Christian, drawing them closer and closer to Him. There's a God who wants us to understand that He says to us, "Draw near to Me, and I will draw near to you." And when He draws near to us, we've talked about this before, He doesn't draw near to us in a way that just says, "Let me see where I can fit into your life." When He draws near to us, He comes in like a raging wave that is going to consume our life. That's His plan. He gives us an open door, no matter what our circumstances are. The instruction that He gives them is to keep the faith. Hold fast which thou hast. And then look at the promise that He gives. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. To be a pillar in the temple of God. We know the Bible teaches that God is building His church, and that we are parts, we're building blocks in that church. He is giving us a firm place in His presence. He gives us a new name. How do you want to be known? Do you want to be known as a great singer? A great athlete? Great in your profession? A great mom? A great dad? Or forget those kids, be a great grandparent. How do you want to be known? Don't you want to be known as somebody that loves Jesus? And he says, "I'm going to give them a place in the new city, the new Jerusalem." Do y'all remember when we used to see hitchhikers all the time? I can remember growing up, we never went to my grandparents without seeing a few hitchhikers somewhere along the highway or the interstate. And a lot of times, what would they have? They would have made a homemade sign that said where they were trying to go, right? Baton Rouge, Tulsa. I've told y'all before about my brother that hitchhiked with his Frisbee partner to California. I don't understand. He was one of the older kids. As they got young, you know, as the younger ones came along, we got to be more normal and smarter. But if you were holding up a sign with your destination on it, so that everybody that passed by could see that sign, what would that sign say? As children of God, our lives ought to be a sign that we're holding up that says, the New Jerusalem. Heaven, children of heaven, our destination is heaven. And our goal until we get to that point is for us to be exactly where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to be doing. I'm so glad that he said, you have so little strength. Because what he's saying is, the door that you go through depends more on me than it does on you. Some of us think because we don't have as much talent as other people, God can't use us. Some of us think because we don't have as much energy as other people, God can't use us. Some of us think because we don't have as much personality or charisma as other people, that God can't use us. Some of us think that because we don't have as much knowledge as other people, God can't use us. But the reality is, when we are faithful to Him, when we keep His word and don't deny His name, He will open the right door for us to go through, and the way that He uses you is going to be exactly how He wants to use you. And it is going to be a way that makes a difference in all of eternity. Friends, I firmly believe right now, because of the turmoil in our world, people are more open to the spread of the gospel, more open to ministry, more in need of the love of Christ. And God wants us to walk through that door. There's that big door that God is opening for His church. And there are those specific individual doors that God has for you. Where is it that God wants you to be serving that you're not doing? What is it that God has laid on your heart and you've been ignoring Him? You've been putting it off. Who is it that God keeps laying on your heart? Maybe it's to share the gospel with them. Maybe it's to bring them a pie. Maybe it's to help that single mother with her kids. Who is it that's out there? You know, another thing that I did, because as you know, I'm from a big family, and I've got a lot of relatives on my wife's side. It's just, we're always going to birthday parties or weddings or something like that. And then all that stopped. I've been to 5 or 6 of those drive-by birthday parties, and that's just not the same. But I started with my family sending out a video and basically sending a video greeting that just told them what they mean to me. I wouldn't have done that if I was seeing them as often as I would normally see them. That would have never happened. I'm known for sending videos singing made-up birthday songs to my family on their birthdays, but you've got to be related to me to suffer that. The question for us is, are we seeing shut doors or are we seeing open doors? God is a God who opens doors so that we can be faithful to Him if we'll let Him be the one opening and shutting the doors. That's a great prayer to pray with those big decisions. But you know, it really ought to be a way of life. It ought to be that we get up every day and say, God, I don't want to go anywhere or do anything that you don't want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. Shut doors so that I can't get through them if I'm going to go somewhere that you don't want me to go. And Lord, when you open doors, make it obvious. Make it clear. Don't leave it up to me to figure it out, because I'll mess it up. That's the God that we serve. He's told us clearly how we can know Him as our Savior. If we place our faith in Him, asking Him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our life and to be our Lord. He doesn't make salvation so simple that even a child can understand it without also making following Him just as clear and just as simple. If you're struggling following the Lord, I would have to ask, are you really committed to following Him? Let's not climb through windows when God shut the door. Let's stand for prayer. Father, how grateful we are that you are a God who wants to save, that you're a God who's made it possible for us to know you as Savior. You give us the strength that we need to live for you as Lord. Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here. Lord, I pray that you would give them a clear sense of your leadership. Lord, help us to turn from sin that keeps us from being able to see when you open doors in our lives. Help us to be willing to go through any door and to accept any shut door that you place in our lives. Father, bless this church. I'm so thankful for it and the witness that it has in this community. We ask you, Father, to bless Brother Aaron. Lord, restore him physically. Father, bless this church as it reaches out to a lost and dying world. Use this church to be exactly what you want it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anything else? I thought there was something missing this morning. It went by a little faster. I think he may have rushed through because I was preaching. And he knew I needed a little more time. That's right. God bless you. Right.